Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host for the next hour, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for being with us today and for whatever part of the 2 hours you can be with us. Just a reminder, we are here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Over 800 a.m. WTMR, and also over our website at inhissign.com. And we're blessed today to be joined by a guest. Susan was with us a couple of months ago talking about one of her more current books called Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, and a book that's become my daily devotional, Sue. And we're glad to have you back again today. We had planned to have you back to talk about the Holy Souls, this being the month of November. And the month that we tend to do that. And I'll be honest, Sue, I never had a devotion to the Holy Souls until we talked a couple of months ago. It was one of those things that, you know, every once in a while I'd pray for a family member that was passed or somebody else that would come to mind. And after having you on and talking a little bit about it when we talked about Faustina, and then finding out about the Holy Soul Sodality up there in Stockbridge, and now this other great book that you have, I guess it's from 2014, Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, has opened a whole new world for me. So, Susan Tassone, it's great to have you back with us. Thanks for joining us.
Well, happy month of the souls, Ken. You have become addicted, like Jeanette Bankovic, Drew Mariani, EWTN. There are families. There are families and our friends, and they're people that are real, and they're powerful intercessors, and they know who we are. And they're with us throughout life, and you just, you know, you can't get anything better than having, you know, 10,000 intercessors, you know, looking out for you, especially these times, you know.
Amen.
I can use all the friends and you know, intercessors I can get. So I'm just tickled to be on with you, especially during the month, because some special things are happening that haven't happened before, you know, during this month. So I want to be sure we talk about indulgences, Ken, because
yes,
something the church has declared. Do you want me to mention it now, or did you?
We have an hour, so we can go wherever we want to go. And I think that this is important because
let me just say it now, so
yep,
I don't forget.
Yeah,
because it's really significant. You know, the first 8 days of November, we're able to gain an indulgence, you know, if we visit a cemetery and say certain prayers, of course, go to Mass, receive communion. And this indulgence is applicable only to the souls or to a particular soul in purgatory. And it's a plenary indulgence. And it usually we're able to gain a plenary indulgence, you know, from November 1st to the 8th by doing those practices, visiting the cemetery, making sure you receive Mass and communion. And, of course, confession within 20 days. Well, and then you can apply it to either one particular soul or all the souls in purgatory. Well, because of COVID, the Church has said that they are extending gaining the indulgences for the souls, not for 8 days, but for the whole month, for 30 days. Every single day you can gain a plenary indulgence and apply to a particular soul or to all souls without having to go to the cemetery because of the pandemic. You could do it out in the comfort of your home. Watch live TV, Mass on TV, and do the spiritual communion and say the prayers for the Pope and a special prayer, Our Father, Hail Mary, for the souls in purgatory, and you can apply that indulgence. That's never been done before, so we have an opportunity, to do that for 30 days. And a lot of people think that most souls are released in November. That's just the kickoff, Ken. Most souls are released at Christmas. Mm. Christmas. This is only the beginning of getting them home for Christmas. So you have all month to do it, and also you have to keep in mind, too, there's not one saint that's given 30 days, of recognition. They're given a day, but the souls are given the whole month. And now we're able to impart a plenary indulgence for them for 30 days. And as you know, hundreds of thousands of people have died and are dying as we speak. Now, can you say they went directly to heaven? Maybe some, mm-hmm. but from what I understand, there might be some purgatory time. So we have this great opportunity to impart these special graces that our Church is granting us for these holy heroes, I call them.
Yeah, and so when I want to ask this because I know that I have listeners, especially my friends that are in recovery, and we're working on getting them back to the faith and to the sacraments, and they may not know what an indulgence is. So for those that may not know, maybe a quick definition of what this plenary indulgence is.
Yeah, that's one of the most – I wrote a book called Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls, and I left that for last because it's a mouthful and it's confusing, but I took my time in making sure I researched it enough to explain it and break it down. So an indulgence, and we should be greedy and grab all the indulgences we can get. So what is an indulgence? The Catechism defines it as this. An indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven, which the faithful Christian who is duly disposed gain under certain prescribed conditions through the action of the Church, which, as the minister of redemption, dispenses and applies with authority the treasury of the satisfactions of Christ and the saints. Okay, that's a mouthful. How do you break that down? Okay, so this is what it means. You go to confession, and the guilt is removed. What's left is the stain. There's still a stain. It's like a little boy that, breaks a window, with a baseball. They're playing baseball and he knocked the window. Well, the neighbor will forgive you, but you have to, pay it back. You have to pay for that window. So what happens is the guilt is removed in confession and the stain still remains. How do you work the stain off? By gaining indulgences, spiritual and corporal works of mercy, living out the Beatitudes, okay? So God lavishes his mercy on us. So we have this treasury house of indulgences that we can gain for our souls and the souls of our departed loved ones. And how other ways, how do you gain them? There's visiting the cemetery, litanies, the rosary, the chaplet. The Stations of the Cross. Renewing our baptismal vows at Easter, visiting the cemetery, teaching CCD. There's special occasions that you can gain indulgences, Eucharistic processions, novenas, pilgrimages. The list goes on because there's a book called the Incritian that gives you all the ways you can gain indulgences. Why do we have indulgences? Their purpose is to make up for the penances that were omitted or that you did very poorly or that were too light, you know, in comparison with the enormity of the sin. And I was trying to get an example, and I was able to find the best example that Archbishop Fulton Sheen explained. He said, it's like a nail in a board. Once you remove the nail, which is the sin, with confession, the hole, which is the punishment, remains to be filled. And how is that hole to be filled? By penance and reparation. So indulgences fill that hole on earth by fulfilling, you know, certain, you know, acts of charity that we have to do. What else can we say is that the indulgences come out of the mercy of Jesus, and it satisfies our debt. It's not a discount. It's an aid for growth toward spiritual perfection, toward inner change, toward deeper conversion. It's not a discount for performing the acts. You have to be properly disposed. You have to have the right attitude. So hopefully that explains what an indulgence is. So we have to do this repair work here on earth, or if we don't, we do it in purgatory. So by going to confession regularly, you can gain many plenary indulgences and heal the effects of the sins that, you know, you had committed.
Amen.
I hope that helps.
No, it does. And I remember when I came back to the faith and I would come across these holy cards, you know, that would talk about indulgences and this and that. And my mother-in-law was one of the holiest women I knew, always had the beads in her hand. And I remember I would come across these indulgences and I would call her and say, I found another one. You know, I'm getting 1,000 years off because, you know, being away and doing some of the things that I had done, I expected before I came back to go to hell, and then to find out that I got a shot at heaven, and then to find these indulgences to work off the time was a blessing. And sometimes I think we can treat them like voodoo. Like it's like a tit for tat. I do this and I get that. And there's obviously a whole lot more to it, and
yes,
something to be taken seriously.
That's right.
That's right.
It's not. And if you want to know more about it, that one book I have, Praying with the Saints, this is where what I just explained to you is in that book.
Very good.
It's also in the one we're going to talk about, too, Day by Day for the Holy Souls. It's broken up in that one as well. That's one heck of a book. Let me tell you, though, it's up almost at 300 five-star reviews. That book has just been like a Duracell rabbit. It's got batteries in it, Ken.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, we talked a couple of months ago about the Faustina book, and right after the show, actually during the show, I ordered my copy, and it arrived in a couple of days. And then 2 weeks ago, Maureen gave me the copy of Day by Day that you forwarded to us, Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, that's published by our Sunday Visitor. And so when I got here today, I actually gave Maureen back the copy that you forwarded, and she's like, oh, don't you need it for the show? And it's like, nope, got my own.
it's such a favorite with people because it has everything you want to know about purgatory, but we're afraid to ask. I was working on purgatory for many years, and I realized that there's so much. How do you share it without having to write another book? And the best way to do it is day by day. So each day I had an opportunity to talk about purgatory from three points of view. From scripture, because as you see, every day there's a scripture passage. And so I was able to include every purgatory passage and reference in the book. And then I was able to talk about purgatory from the meditations. And where did I get these meditations? From the greatest thinkers, writers, and theologians, and what they had to say about purgatory. So I took these eloquent writings and I pulled out all the gems from what they had to say, and I created the passage, the meditation, and the reflection, and that's what you have. So you can use this book either as a devotional, you could use it as a year-round novena, or pick it up and just read it as the Spirit leads you. And many people write me and tell me that they have the cards, the memorial cards of their from people that have died, and they put that card in that date, which I thought was kind of neat. Many people are doing that with that book.
Yeah, the Father McKay, who I have on in the prior hour each week from 4 to 5, he's got his private chapel, and I remember when I first met him on a table next to the altar, he has stacks and stacks of those cards.
Oh.
Friends, family, funerals that he's done. And he's got them all in stacks in chronological order by day of the year. And so each day he'll take the ones for that day and place them on the altar and remember them when he offers Mass. And I don't have near that many, but yeah, I don't have near that many, but I can see where mine will be going into the book soon. I always wonder what you're supposed to do with them, and I think I have a purpose now.
You know, I did too until people were telling me that's where they put the cards, and they also, if they don't have a card and somebody dies, they write their name on that page.
Amen.
That book has actually been, somebody emailed me, and they took the book, I don't know how they did it, but they put it in a binder. I don't know how they did it. Maybe they Xerox the pages, and so they use it as where they can, as with a binder, like a 3-ring binder, where they can just kind of flip the pages.
Yeah.
Easier for whatever reason it was that she said it worked for her. Well, whatever works to help get the souls out, and gain intercessors for yourself and these second guardian angels, go for it.
Amen. Listen, I found today's to be spot on for me, and I've got a couple of people that have been texting me with a lot of angst and anxiety over things that are going on, whether it's in the church, in the country, around the world. And I opened this today for November 11th, and what they're all looking for is, who do I call? Where do we protest? Who can I lash out at in order to get some satisfaction as to how things are going? And then I open up to November 11th today, and in bold letters at the top of the page, silence is golden. Mm-hmm. Would you mind if I shared it with our listeners?
No, please do. I'll read along with you.
Very good. So, again, today, November the 11th, silence is golden, and this is the scripture. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." And that's taken from Luke chapter 16, verse 24. And then Susan's reflection that she's written. We are told death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's from Proverbs 18:21. Purgatory is filled with suffering souls who committed sins of the tongue. St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote, "Oh, how great the blessings that silence brings to the soul. The prophet Isaiah says that silence shall cultivate justice in the souls. For on the one hand, it saves us from a multitude of sins by destroying the root of disputes, of detractions, of resentments, and of curiosity. And on the other hand, it makes us acquire many virtues. The same holy prophet said, 'In quietness and in trust shall be your strength.'" And that's taken from Isaiah 30, verse 15. And then Susan's reflection, "Consciously tame your tongue today. In the spirit of reparation, keep a day of silence to bring solace to the suffering souls." And then each day concludes with a prayer, "Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen." And like I said, I found this so fitting today with people wanting to just vocalize all their anxiety, their worry, their frustration, their anger. And I open this today, and it's like, I had to text a buddy of mine and say, "Hey, listen, today we're just going to be quiet." And it was perfect.
And that's actually not only with that passage, but many of the saints. That is, that's their advice. In fact, I received something from the World Apostle at Fatima the other day, and it was Sister Lucia who was going through struggling, trying to get the consecration, done, and the first Saturday devotion, which is one great way to get the grace of a happy death, is doing those devotions in reparation of the Immaculate Heart and Sacred Heart. But she was struggling with that, and she said that, God, who gave her the task, also is allowing this to happen as well. And she said that she had a nephew priest, and he was writing her about what was going on with Vatican II and the clergy, and she said to him basically the same: stay close to the tabernacle and pray. and of course somebody else, the vice postulator for the two children, Jacinta and Francesco, said the rosary, pick up the rosary. And I love what Lucia also said. She had a message that God asks of us. He said, pray and offer sacrifices. And this is what she said, endure, and I think it's in this book too, you know, accept the trials, the pain and the death, endure it for the holy souls, you know, avoid judging others, be patient, don't overreact, forgive. And she says, endure uncomplainingly whatever little annoyances we may encounter on our path. Sometimes it may be disagreeable, irritating, or unpleasant. It may be a misunderstanding, a reproof, a rejection, an act of ingratitude. She said, it's necessary to know how to endure all things, offering our sacrifice to God and letting things drop as if we were deaf, dumb, and blind. Repay those with a smile, a kind deed, a favor, forgiving and loving. In fact, I think it's in today's scripture, too. It's in today's gospel. You can go to E.W. Chan, and Father Mitch Paca was eloquently talking about that. The fruit of our sacrifices is so we may see better, speak with greater certainty, and hear the voice of God.
Amen.
It's difficult for our human nature, but it's one of the most pleasing things to God and meritorious for ourselves. Does that say then you're supposed to be, you know, be silent? No, there's a time. There's a time and a place. And that's right now is the time, as she pointed out, because they were trying to, you know, the Fatima people up in New Jersey were trying to respond to exactly what you're telling me. And she shared with what Lucia said. I'm sharing from my point of view, you know, pick up that rosary. That's the weapon.
Amen. And one of the other books you've written, and I downloaded the sample. I didn't get the book yet. I'm becoming a Suzanne Tassone junkie.
Purgatory Buster.
The Rosary for the Holy Souls in Purgatory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? That's a power. You know, out of all the books, you know, that's one of the most powerful. You know why? Because it's the Rosary. And the Rosary is called the weapon. I think Our Lady called it the weapon, or Padre Pio calls it the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's also, if when you get the book in the introduction, it's also called Ken the Dry Mass. During the Protestant Revolt, when the priests were unable to say Mass, they sent the people home, and they told them to say the Rosary. And the Rosary became known as the Dry Mass. Also, why is it so powerful? You know, well, every apparition that Our Lady's, every approved apparition, Bonneau, Borang, Lourdes, Fatima, what does she do? She comes with the Rosary. The Rosary is on her arm. She said, this is the, you know, the peace plan. And we scoff at it thinking, oh, that doesn't have any power. Well, she's the mother of God, and that's what God wants, and he's sending her, and that's what she says to do. Do it.
Do it.
And we haven't. Look what happened with Fatima. We just out the window. And Bonnet, but this is why we are where we are, because I think there was Pope Benedict was, when he was here, I forget what year, I have it in one of my books, visiting the bishops, they said, what do we do with the secularization? What do we do with all this? You know, how do we handle this? You know what he said to them? Teach the people to pray.
Mm. Yeah, it's in that prayer, right, that we draw closer to God.
It's all in prayer. Yeah. It's in prayer, scripture, confession, the sacraments. And then you'll know what to do. Then you'll know when you want to go, you know, a protest, or you'll know just to, you know, react is first, are you praying? In fact, Sister Lucia said, why don't you focus on the message of Fatima, which is prayer and sacrifice, and then, you know, the rest will fall into place. So can you say, are you praying and sacrificing? Do that. And I think you're going to get as she said, you'll hear the voice of God and things become clearer, but that's not the answer. And look,
right,
Today's scripture. I know it was today's scripture because I was listening to him. So go to EWTN YouTube and listen to Father Mitch's homily about exactly what we're talking about. It was excellent.
Very good. There's so many resources out there. You know, the internet. You know, some people talk about how much bad is out there and what have you. But there's so much more good. I think we just got to know where to find it. So thank you for that.
Exactly. Yep. You're going to get that no matter what. What's the saying, Ken? Where evil abounds, grace abounds even more.
Amen.
Remember, we won. You know, we just have to stick with the plan. You know, be patient. Our Lady go to Fatima, Lourdes, you know, what was the plan? Pick up the rosary. Are you doing three rosaries a day? Are you trying to fast from meat or something on Fridays? Are you watching Mass every day and doing the prayers? Are you interceding with the saints? Are you praying for the souls? I think that's why we're in the trouble that we're in, because we're not praying enough. Like I said, Benedict told the bishops, teach the people to pray, that we've lost the devotions and the novenas.
That's right. That's right. So we've talked, you mentioned Our Lady quite a few times in the last couple of minutes. Does Our Lady have a specific role when it comes to the holy souls?
She, you know, I just, she's got, she wears a lot of hats, Ken. She's called the queen of purgatory. And, you know, in, so the answer is yes, she does. You know, God grants his mercy through her. And if you, you know, in with Faustina, when Faustina was visiting purgatory, and that's in this book. This book's got everything, everything you want to know from, you know, actually what I like about the book is if you like stories, there's stories. If you like encyclicals, there's encyclicals. If you like apologetics, there's apologetics. There's something for some, for everyone. If you learn, everybody learns differently. Well, there's something for everyone that has a different kind of learning. So, so back to Our Lady. Yes, indeed. She, when Faustina was visiting with the souls in purgatory, the guardian angel took her there, and they said that Our Lady visits them. And when she visits them, they don't feel the pain of purgatory. That her presence brings them refreshment, and they call her the Star of the Sea. And so I had to find out. Well, what does that mean? You know, it's one of her titles, but why Star of the Sea? Well, I was very fortunate to work with Father Andrew Apostoli, God rest his soul. He was a great purgatory buster, and he shared with me that in times past, navigators used Polaris, the North Star, to guide them because it holds a fixed position in the sky. So Mary guides us to her Son, and that's why they call her Star of the Sea. So she's the one that guides us. She's the one that encourages us. She's the one that because of the first Saturday devotion, you know, my understanding is that if you there's the first Friday, first Saturday devotions in reparation of the Sacred Heart and of the Immaculate Heart. And my understanding is it helps to, you know, she said to do these to in reparation. And also Father Apostoli was telling me that it will speed up the era of peace. So circle your calendars and do this, because there's beautiful promises, one of which is you're given the grace of final repentance, meaning the grace, you know, to be able to get to heaven. I lost my train of thought. I was trying to go somewhere with this, and I just kind of drew a blank here. But, yes, I do. The promise that, you know, when you do these devotions, it's the first Saturday, that she will come, if you're in purgatory, come on the first Saturday of the month and take you to heaven. Amen. That's one of the promises. So yeah. So she's the one that guides us. She's the one that intercedes for us. She's the one that visits purgatory and gives them consolation. And she's the one that tells Faustina and all the other saints to offer your sacrifice for the souls in purgatory. And she also, now this isn't an approved apparition yet. Part of it is approved, but I read everything, and in Medjugorje she had shared that many souls are of the consecrated are in purgatory. So I read a lot of books from the saints that said the same thing, that the souls of priests and consecrated religious are in purgatory and have been for a long time because we tend to canonize them, and that they need our prayers. And she may have said that in that Medjugorje, but the saints have also confirmed that in my writings. So she points to us praying for them. What else did she say? You can avoid purgatory. How do you avoid it? You know, by doing the will of God in all things. So purgatory is avoidable. It's not something to say, I'll be lucky if I get to purgatory. No, she's like a mother. She wants you to come straight home.
Amen. Well, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a break. You can wet your whistle. And we'll take care of some business, and we'll be right back. So for our listeners, don't go away. We will be right back.
My name is Mario DiAdamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Again, your host, Ken Johnston. And we say it all the time in the recorded ads, but we really do want to praise and thank God for all of you that support us here at In His Sign, both your financial and prayerful contributions that has kept us on the air for over 40 years now. And we just ask you to continue to do what you can that allows our voices to go out in what some would say are dark times. So thank you again for that. And I want to get back to Susan. I got more questions, and she's got tons of answers.
Well, can I just stop one thing? Because there was just a few more things I wanted to say about Our Lady.
Sure.
You know, because your question was, what role does she play? She's the intercessor. You know, I just wanted to add this: stay close to the mother. You know, Jesus never says no to his mother. Because her intercession is very powerful, and if you go throughout that book, The Day by Day for the Souls, you're going to see her interceding and offering our prayers to God, because what she does with our prayers, she embellishes them, so they're presentable to God. And of course, again, throughout the book, she says, pray the rosary, because it's the rosary alongside the Mass that releases the souls in purgatory because of the intelligences that are attached to them. And there's a special passage, and you know, it would be an honor if you read it. You know, it's easy for me to read my own book, but if you go to May 31st, That really sums it up about, you know, what role she plays. So I just, if you wouldn't mind reading that, Ken, I think that really sums it up.
No, not at all. So May 31st, the title of the day is Best Safeguard, Devotion to Our Lady. And the Bible verse is from Proverbs 3, verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. Then it says, devote and consecrate yourself entirely to Mary, Our Lady. Make her a present of masses, communions, fasts. Imitate her glorious virtues. If you do these things, you need not fear purgatory. She will obtain for you such a measure of true contrition and conformity to God's will, so much patience in your last sickness, such holy and ardent desire to serve God, such profound humility as to blot out of our souls what purgatory was to have done, and purify you in a present capacity to go directly into heaven, and if an extraordinary pass should be necessary, who can better procure it for you than the Lady of the House, the Mother of the Judge, the Empress of Paradise, the Queen of the Universe? And that's from
Amen.
And that's from Etienne Benet, Jesuit and French author. That's awesome.
That answers it.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things that that came across my mind, you know, I mentioned as we got started with people wondering what to do, and one of the things that came to mind, and I actually shared it with my wife last night, is maybe to lead some of these souls through the Marian consecration. There's a number of various ways to do it, whether it's Louis de Montfort or Father Gately.
Mm-hmm.
I
like Louis. Yeah. He's That's a biggie.
Yep, absolutely.
I've done that. It's extraordinarily powerful.
Absolutely.
But there's a, you know, Father Gately does a nice a contemporary version too.
Yep. Yeah, I've done both. I've actually done the Maximilian Kolbe as well. That was initial one back in 97, and mm-hmm. I think I've had the Blessed Mother watching out for me ever since.
She looks after her children. You're under the mantle. And like I said, she takes good care of her children.
Absolutely.
She wants all her children to come home. She doesn't want to lose a soul.
No.
We don't want to lose a soul either, so we have to look out for our family. We have to make sure that we have, you know, right now it's the COVID is getting worse than it was here in Illinois than in March. And there's talk about the churches closing again because there's several churches that are closed because of it's picking up again. And so you want to, you know, make sure you go to confession. You want to get masses offered for your family now while they're alive. You want to put masses in your will. You want to have masses offered for your deceased loved one, because what that does, it increases their intercessory power. And that's in the catechism. The more you pray for them, the more powerful their intercession is for you. And that's number 958 in the catechism.
Very good. Write that one down, 958. So one of the things I want to mention before I go to the next question is Harry popped his head in over the break. And, you know, it's always interesting to me the different customs or little devotions that people will have. And, you know, Harry mentioned that whenever he drives past a cemetery, he would say the prayer that's on each of these days: eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let mm-hmm. perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. And as soon as Harry said it, it's like I drive past three cemeteries to get here every Wednesday. And how easy is it to add that to the repertoire of things and devotions
yes.
that we're able to do? So,
yes, indeed, because that's a partial indulgence. That prayer is a partial indulgence for them. In fact, Ken, this is a true story. It's a friend of mine. She drove past the cemeteries many times on her way to visit. She was a volunteer at a hospital, and she calls it the no-name cemetery because it didn't have a name, and there were very old stones. But she, every day for 2 years, would drive past and say the eternal rest prayer. And after the second year, she said to herself, did anybody get out? And so as she was pulling up to the stoplight, the car in front of her, she noticed the license plate, and the license plate read this, Ken, if you can visualize this, C CUNHVN. See you in heaven.
How about that? Is that odd or is that God?
That's right. Answered her question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
They're real. They're real. They're our families. They're our relatives. They're our friends. They're our priests, religious, nuns, and they're real and they're powerful. And I love what Blessed Solanus always says, and they hardly ever fail.
Yeah. So you get encouragement because some people may think that, oh no, purgatory, what's it going to be like, and what have you. And as we're going through this, and we've talked about, the our fellow Catholic brothers and sisters, fellow Christian brothers and sisters praying for us while we're in purgatory. We've talked about Our Lady being there to lead us from purgatory into heaven. I think the angels also have a role to play as well, don't they?
Oh, my goodness, yes. They're very powerful. You know, the angels accompany you to purgatory. You know, I read this, that it really was fascinating. They're there, the moment of your conception, you are assigned an angel, and they're with you throughout your life, and after death, if you're in purgatory. I'll just share this with you. There's only one time that they leave you. Can you guess what that time is? There's only one circumstance that they depart.
During your judgment?
No.
No.
If the soul goes to hell. The angel departs. It's just heartbreaking to even think about that, but that's true. But they are with you from the moment of conception. They're with you in purgatory. They console you. They let you know who's praying for you. They intercede for you. Their job is to get you back home to heaven. That is their mission, and they will do anything, any graces that you need, any special intercession that they will do for you to get you back home, because there's a place for you that I read that they pass by your spot every day. And so they intercede for you, and they console you, and they inspire us to pray for them. Sometimes you might get a thought, and it's not by accident. Some name may come to you about. You keep thinking about some person that you knew, and that's coming from the guardian angel that you should pray for them. So they console, they intercede, and they inspire. And then at the at the time of your release, I've read this, and it's in the book, that there's a reception line of angels on both sides, and they shoot you through this reception line, cheering you on the way to heaven, so that your entrance into heaven is a glorious one.
Wow, I want to go now. No,
you have a mission to fulfill.
No,
you got to finish your mission, and
Amen.
There's nobody that has your mission, Ken. So
that's
you
right.
Can't pass it off to anybody.
No,
you put it in your will.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. So, and I'm willing to do it for the life that he's managed to give me after everything I've put people through. I'm more than happy to keep doing what I'm doing. So, that said, one of the things that we hear about is, and I think we may even see it in Faustina when she visited Purgatory, was this idea of the fire that's there. And my good friend Father McKay always says, I can't imagine, my mother and father popping around in a frying pan, on fire. And so what have you been able to glean and learn from?
Yes, that was one of the things I first started out with is many of the old books kept talking about a punishment. And it's not a punishment. It's a purification. God is trying to prepare his unprepared children to get ready to be able to stand before him, because he's all pure and he's all holy. And there is a great example in that book, David, for the Holy Souls Day by Day, about Teresa of Avila and how she was going through such pain and agony at the hour of her death. And the nuns were afraid. They said, are you afraid of death? No. Are you afraid of going to hell? No. She says, well, what's the fear? She goes, she experienced the holiness and the purity of God. She says, my God, the purity and the holiness of God has overwhelmed her. So So I found out that it's not a punishment, it's a purification, because he's all pure and he's all holy. And I found out that it's not the fire we know. I learned that there are three key points that everyone agrees to. First of all, the fire is described by the saints. It's a positive fire. It's a burning love for God. So it's an interior fire. I call it a God fire. And we examine the fire purgatory from the point of view of philosophers and saints that approached it. And both the philosophers and the saints agree that it's not a physical fire as we know it. It's a spiritual fever, Ken. It's a longing for God. And I like the way, and again, this is in the book, because I draw from the saints. Faustina said their hunger, it's a hunger, it's a thirst, it's a famine, it's a drought for God. It's a heart sickness. That's how the saints explain it, because they saw God and they're unable to be with him, and it's this frustrated love. And so they burn for the desire of the love of God. They experience the love of God. And in fact, if you go to June 22nd, I read that, and that explains the love that some of the saints had. So they were experiencing this burning love for God while they were alive. And so there was a great example, I believe, on June 22nd, Ken, if you want to read that.
Yeah, that's the Wounds of Love.
Yes, so that gives it, this is a good example of what this burning love is.
So the scripture is taken from Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longs, yea, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then it reads, love can sometimes produce effects in the human breast that recall those of material fire. We read this in the lives of certain saints. The Holy Spirit comes to them as a wellspring of intolerable love, as a consuming fire, as a wound of death and life. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi was heard to cry, O love, you cause me to consume and melt. You cause me to die and yet to live. We often hear the common phrase, I have a burning desire for such and such. St. Philip Neri could not support the ardor of the fire that the love of God kindled within him. While fervently praying in the catacombs around 1545, he experienced an ecstasy when his heart was enlarged. Two ribs were broken to make room for his enlarged heart, which was filled with spirit, love, joy, and cheer. To ease the burning, he would uncover his breast in the cold. St. Faustina said, I felt some kind of fire in my heart. An extraordinary suffering pervades my soul, together with a joy I cannot compare to anything. And Blessed Mary of Providence shared, today I feel as though my hands were on fire. I am burning. My God, I burn with love for you. I feel with an inconceivable hunger and thirst for God. And then the reflection, ask God for the gift of love.
There it is.
Yep. Amen.
It's a positive fire. It's a burning love for God. They burn for love of God. And they experienced that purgatory while they were alive. And that's what the souls experience. That's their greatest pain, is the loss of the sight of God, and they burn. They have this kind of burning. Faustina also, I didn't have it in this reflection, but she also experienced one time God withheld communion from her, and she said she thought she was going to die because of the loss of the union with him. And so that's what she experienced while she was alive, but that's what the souls experience in purgatory. And that's the primary pain, is the loss of the sight of God in this burning love for him.
Very good. One of the things that's been going on in this pandemic, and especially with the folks that Father McKay and I minister to with that struggle with addiction, has been a dramatic increase in the number of overdoses and suicides. People that, shutdown, lockdown.
Yes, children, students, yes.
And so whether it's having to live in their own mind, whether it's social media, whatever it is, mm-hmm. a great increase in the number of suicides. So I think old school, you would hear that, you commit suicide, you got no shot. that, you know, that was a, it was a mortal sin, and you'd be banished to hell. But is that what you found in your writings?
Well, in the catechism, they tell you, I don't have the catechism in front of me, but they clearly say that, no, that soul is not in hell. That soul was in despair. That soul wasn't, it wasn't, you know, thinking. That soul wasn't lucid. That soul was in some, you know, horrible pain. And, it, you know, it's, that doesn't cause them to go to hell because of that. They couldn't handle whatever it was. And that's, you know, they were despairing. Mm. But the soul doesn't go to hell because of that. So we addressed it, you know, when someone commits suicide, the loved ones have all kinds of feelings. You know, it tears the family apart. You know, if you love someone that commits suicide, you have this wide range of feelings. So it's normal to be angry and sad and down and scared, and you shouldn't be ashamed for what you feel, because feelings are really fleeting and they change rapidly. So one of the most common feelings is that of being ashamed. We blame ourselves for the suicide. If I did this, or if I didn't notice this, if I would have noticed that, you know, but I talked to psychologists, and they shared with me people commit suicide for a variety of reasons, and it's much more complex. And so the worst thing we can do is blame ourselves and be ashamed. So we need to accept whatever feelings we have, because all feelings are legitimate. So we felt that the book, this book, This Day by Day, really will help you accept those feelings. And it has the right kind of reflections and prayers for these wide variety of feelings. That's why we have the book. And it really does help and console you to move on and to help the soul, you know, because where that soul is in purgatory, because it's a sin to take your life. So that soul is in purgatory. So you need to help get the soul through purgatory, through your masses, especially Gregorian masses, and offer up, you know, the mass, the rosary, indulgences for that suffering soul. But it's definitely not a mortal sin, and the soul is, you know, not in hell. It took its own life, so it's suffering in purgatory.
Amen. You know, they say you should always mention the book at least three times in an hour. We should probably mention even more than that. But our guest is Susan Tassone, and the book that we're talking about is Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. The great devotional. I can attest to it. I bought my own copy, personal copy, because I was impressed with the forwarded copy that we got. So one of the things you just mentioned, Susan, was Gregorian Masses. And we chatted about them real briefly, I think, the last time we talked. And then a friend of mine passed away in our Franciscan fraternity. Actually went and got Gregorian Masses for Fran.
Very good.
Yeah. So for those that are listening that aren't familiar with those Gregorian Masses.
You know, I'd have to say it would be... It's not, you know, the books, yes, they help us, they give us direction, they legitimize purgatory, they support us, they tell you what to do. But the number one way to help a soul, to be either relieve a soul or release a soul, is the Mass. The Mass is the highest form of worship. It's the highest act of prayer. It's the body and blood of Jesus, and that's what they need. Gregorian Masses are just, I'll be talking about Gregorian Masses until I die. Every show I've been on, EWTN, it's always the number one thing we have to address. There are 30 Masses in a row, and they're celebrated on 30 consecutive days for the repose of one departed soul, not a family, not a couple, not someone alive. Why 30 Masses? Because Pope St. Gregory was the one that popularized it, and he ordered 30 Masses for the soul of a departed monk in his order. Why did he choose 30? Why didn't he choose 31 or 35 or 60? Because he was bringing back the tradition in the Old Testament where Moses and Aaron and Jacob mourned their dead for 30 days. So that's where we get 30, the 30 Masses. And what happened was, is after he had the Masses ordered for Justice, his name was Justice, Justice appeared to Pope St. Gregory. And Justice appeared to his blood brother, Copiosus. Copiosus was with him at his final sickness, his final illness. He was a doctor, and he let his brother know, and Pope St. Gregory, that he was released from purgatory after the 30th Mass. Now, does that prove or does that guarantee that when we have these masses offered, 30 masses that we're going to be released from purgatory? The church doesn't go that far to say that. They go as far to say that it points to the efficacy and the power of the mass. So it's very important to have these in your will. Put them in your will. I recommend the Pious Union of St. Joseph. I was the mission director. I was actually the development director for the missions for Cardinal George for several years. And so I was very close to the situation. In fact, he had them in his will. I worked with him. He was my boss. And he told me, they're in my will, Susan, Gregorian masses. In fact, he would take his own check and have put his check toward masses for this deceased priest. He, you know, turned in his own earnings and had masses set for deceased priests. So the mass is what you want. You want these masses in your will. The Pious Union is legitimate. They're reliable. We talk about them on EWTN all the time. So that's one place that I recommend people to go. So, and remember to have offer masses for yourself as well while you're alive, because you're also given the grace of a sanctification and conversion for yourself and for your family members. So do that. You know, we're coming around the time of Christmas, and we give each other masses in our family. Masses are very powerful, you know, to give the grace that person needs for conversion, or for whatever it is. The person always has the free will, but the grace is there. So it's not, people think it's silly. Of course it's not silly. They're very important to do those while you're alive as well. So Gregorian masses, put in your will, have masses said offered while you're alive too.
Very good. We're just about out of time, Susan. We have about 2 minutes left, and I could listen to you for days.
Ken, it's all in my books.
Everything I say
to you is in all the books, so you won't have to memorize anything.
No, absolutely. And the ones that I've picked up already, I've enjoyed. So thank you so much for your yes to God's call to write these books and do what you can to fulfill His will in your life and to share that with us. So just have a minute or two left, so I'll give you the final word for our listeners before we let you go.
Pray for those that are dying. You know, say the chaplet for those that are dying. We've got people in hospitals all around the country. They're packed to the gills. The chaplet is extraordinarily powerful for the dying. The dying become the holy souls. They're the ones that you want to help, you know, then move on to heaven. So pray for the dying, because you'll get the grace of a happy death. And, of course, the masses for yourself and your families, Gregorian masses. And they never forget who their friends are. They pray before the throne of God unceasingly for you all the days of your life until you're safely home in heaven.
Very good. Again, our guest has been Susan Tassone, and the book is Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. Sue, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule.
Ken, I enjoy chatting with you. God bless you and a blessed holiday, Christmas, Advent season.
You too, dear. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Bye now.
Right. Bye-bye. For all of our listeners, thanks so much for being with us, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Till then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care, and God bless.